I would encourage you to turn with me to the book of Daniel one last time, and actually to three chapters, chapters 10, 11, and 12. Guy read the first chapter and chapter 10 earlier in our service. You can find that there in your bulletin, but you can also find in a Bible in front of you, if you don't have a Bible with you. You can find all of the three chapters on beginning on page 748. And you may be wondering what I'm doing in trying to take three chapters on at one time. I asked some of the elders, I said, y'all don't have lunch plans, do you? When I told them what I was doing, but I'm just teasing, okay? But to try to understand what I'm doing, just think about it this way. Have you ever been served a sandwich that was so large that you could hardly fit it into your mouth, much less hope to eat it at one time, all at one time? Yet, the sandwich was of such a nature that it was probably best to make your best effort to eat as much as you could and to leave the rest on the platter and come back and maybe have the sandwich another time and eat a little more of it. Well, that gives you a little bit of an idea of how I'm feeling as we come to Daniel's final vision in chapters 10 through 12. It's so large that we don't even have time to read all of it in our worship time, in one worship service this morning. Yet, it's really beneficial to take it as a whole, for it to be appreciated and understood all together. And so we're going to seek to do that. And for us to attempt to do that this morning, we need to remember what we learned from his last vision. It came to Daniel during the first year of Darius the Mede who became king after the defeat of the Babylonians. And it came as Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. And as he was reading the book of Jeremiah, he realized that the 70 years that had been prophesied for Israel to be exiled in Babylon were almost over, which moved him to begin to fervently pray and to fervently call upon the Lord by repenting of his sins and of his people's sins and asking the Lord, turn your wrath away from us. Turn your wrath away from Jerusalem. Make your face to shine upon your sanctuary once again. Because remember what had happened. Jerusalem had been overrun. The temple had been destroyed. And God responded in an incredible way. God responded by giving Daniel a vision of things to come that was much greater than them returning to Jerusalem, much greater than the temple being restored and worship once again happening at the temple. He was given a vision of 77s, or 70 weeks of years for God's people in the holy city of Jerusalem, which would culminate in an anointed one, putting an end to sin, atoning for iniquity, bringing in everlasting righteousness, and sealing or fulfilling vision and prophecy. The very things that we've begun to celebrate this morning with Palm Sunday, that Jesus came and did as he came into Jerusalem. Well, Daniel's final vision came 2 years later. In the third year of Cyrus, which we think was 537 B.C., Daniel still seems to be in Babylon, despite the fact that some of the exiles had now been allowed to go back to the city of Jerusalem after Cyrus's decree 2 years earlier, right after his first vision and after his prayers. Daniel, though at this point in time, goes into a state of mourning. He goes into a state of mourning for 3 weeks, in which he fasted from eating all delicacies, from eating meat and wine, even though it was during the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And here's the question. Why was Daniel fasting and mourning during a time of feasting and celebration? What seems to be because He was so discouraged. He was so discouraged by how difficult the people had found things upon their return to Jerusalem, how few of the people had returned. Yes, the altar of the temple had been rebuilt, but they had been confronted with fierce opposition upon their return to the land. The initial enthusiasm of the people had quickly faded. The rebuilding of the temple had come to a halt, and the people were just focused in many ways on surviving. And we learn a lot of this from other parts of the scriptures, if you're wondering where we get this greater information. Well, here's what happened. Much like Daniel's previous vision, he was shown things which were far more far-reaching than the rebuilding of the temple, or the city walls, or the worship of God in the temple. He was shown the reality of unseen forces at work in the spiritual world in connection with his prayers. He was shown a much more detailed picture of what the future held for the city of God and for God's people. And he was shown what the end held in store for those who are wise, for those who wait upon the Lord despite persecution and suffering. Pretty amazing, isn't it? A great way to end a book. A great way to end our looking at the prophet Daniel. And so Guy has already read for us this first chapter, chapter 10. And we're not going to read chapter 11, but we are going to read chapter 12 in a moment. So let me ask you this question to kind of put us right back in. And this is where you need to be looking at chapter 10. Have you ever wished that whatever curtain blocks us from seeing what's happening in the spiritual world, that it would be just rolled back for just a minute? Do you ever wish that? I just wish I could see what's going on. In fact, today, if we could see, are there angels here? What's happening? Well, that's what happened to Daniel while he was praying. A man appeared to him who was, some believe, an angel. Some believe possibly even a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, who comes to speak to Daniel to give him strength and encouragement and, yes, understanding of what's happening. And if you saw the picture as Guy was reading the scriptures for us, he appeared to him in great glory to communicate the purity, the strength, the wisdom, the power, the authority of God. In fact, his appearance was so incredible that if you notice that it took Daniel's strength away. It caused him to fall on his face before him. He was just amazed, and those who were with him began to go away. And then he spoke to him. But before we look at what he told Daniel about the future, we need to see what he told Daniel about his even coming to him. And the first thing that should strike us about what he said is that he told Daniel, "Fear not." Fear not, because he had been sent to Daniel from the first day that Daniel prayed. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? From the first day that he set his heart to understand and to humble himself before God, he was sent to him. This is an important description for us to understand because we look at this and sometimes we wonder, does God ever hear our prayers? Is God at work in response to our prayers? And Daniel's immediately told that yes, the first day that you began to pray, I was sent to you. Which encourages us because many times we talk about the power of prayer, that prayer is powerful. But what I want you to make sure you understand before we just simply give the empty phrase, prayer is powerful, what kind of prayer is powerful? What are we told in the scriptures? Well, James tells us that the fervent prayer of a what? A righteous man is powerful and effective. Daniel said by the angel to be greatly loved because he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God's people. He had a heart for God's ways. And upon him beginning to pray, he was sent. The second, though, The second thing, though, that should strike us is the opposition that the man said he faced. Coming to Daniel was no easy task because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him for 21 days. Who is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? Well, obviously some type of an evil spiritual being, a fallen angel, we would guess, whose job it was to seek to influence the affairs in the kingdom of Persia. How long were they in conflict? 21 days. The exact amount of days that Daniel had been praying and fasting. How was he able to overcome him? Interestingly, he said, with the help of Michael. Michael, who was one of the chief angels. Michael, who's known to fight for the Lord. If that weren't enough, he goes on to inform Daniel that he must return to fight with the prince of Persia and then later fight with the prince of Greece. And by revealing himself and his work to Daniel, the man wanted Daniel to have peace. He wanted him to be able to be strong and of good courage, that your prayers are heard, that in response to your prayers, there's all kinds of things going on. There's all kinds of work that's being done. God is hearing your prayers. God is acting in response to your prayers. And did you notice in the description as he spoke to Daniel, that Daniel was strengthened? That it even speaks of him as if he reached down and he touched Daniel so that he knew his presence. He knew that his touch, in a sense, the touch of God. And the thing that I want you to see out of this first chapter, is to see the reality of Paul's statement in Ephesians 6. We studied Ephesians not long ago. That our battle is not against what? Our battle is ultimately not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And do you see that what we see every day, what we see with our physical eyes, it's not the full picture. When we think that we may be alone, like Daniel maybe thought he was alone, we're not alone in the fight. In fact, do you see even in just this picture that there's this spiritual warfare going on in the heavenly places? That as Daniel prays, one is sent to him. He faces conflict. He's going to face conflict even later with the kingdom of Greece, which Daniel had already had vision about. But he's not going to be alone. And because of that, do you see the need for us, as it goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 6, to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, because in a phenomenal way, our prayers have influence in the spirit world. It really does change things. Abraham Kuyper was a famous Dutch prime minister and godly man who had great influence in Holland and beyond. And he said this. He said, if once the curtain was pulled back and the spiritual world behind it came into view, it would expose to our spiritual vision a struggle so intense, so convulsive, so sweeping, everything within its range, that the fiercest battle ever fought on earth would seem by comparison a mere game. And this is something of what God's done for Daniel. He's pulled back the curtain. He's shown Daniel that his prayers are being heard, that he's not alone, that God is working in response to his prayers, and God is working, obviously, for his own purposes, as we'll see in just a moment and be reminded of. And that the battle is, that God is on his throne. Well, this is a great deal then to do with what Daniel was shown next in chapter 11. Because Daniel was not only shown the unseen forces in the spiritual world, he was also shown what the future held for the city of God and for God's people. And if you'll notice what he says in verse 2, he says, "And the word was true, and it was a great conflict." That there was going to be great conflict. Now that's important for us to understand. It was very important for Daniel to understand, because if you remember, Daniel was preoccupied with the people's current struggles. He was preoccupied with how things were going. And from the contents of chapter 11, we can see that God wanted Daniel to recognize that struggle and persecution was going to be the lot of God's people until the end. And so he goes back and he tells him in detailed, much more detailed accounting, some of the things that were going to happen to God's people after the death of Alexander the Great. And I think as we talked about a previous vision, we talked about the fact you think a lot of print would be given to Alexander the Great, but it's actually not. Because the reason is that what took place after his death had a lot more importance to the people of God. And so chapter 11 is quite a history lesson. It's predominantly the story of the conflicts between the kings of the north, Syria, and the kings of the south, Egypt. And again, I've told you before, I'm just no historian at all. But you may know them as the conflicts begun by Alexander the Great's generals, Seleucid and Ptolemy. And these conflicts were important to God's people because guess where Jerusalem was situated? It was sandwiched right in between the two. And they were going to be caught in the crossfire. And time and again in this chapter, you'll notice that the land is called the glorious or beautiful land. It's the promised land. It's the land where Daniel so longed to go back to, and where he saw where the temple had been previously located, where the people of God worshipped, that God had given to them. Well, the biggest conflict was going to come about because of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, or Antiochus the Fourth, that we've looked at before. Someone we've already seen in the vision of the ram and goat in chapter 8. He's described in several more ominous ways to Daniel in this vision. Notice what's said in verse 28. It says, "His heart shall be set against the holy covenant." His heart will be set against the holy covenant. He hated the covenant between God and his people. His desire was to exterminate or do away with, or as much as possible, the Jewish religion. Verse 30. "He shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsake the holy covenant." He collaborated with those who wanted to Hellenize the Jews, and with those he sought to use them, those who forsook the covenant, for his own evil purposes. Verse 31, "Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate." And as we saw a couple of weeks back, he corrupted the worship of God by setting up a statue of Zeus in the temple and offered up sacrifices to it on the altar of the Lord. Look at verse 32. "He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant." He used again seduction and flattery to turn away the people from God's standards. Go to one more, verse 36. It says, "He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak astonishing things against the God of gods." And again, we know how he spoke blasphemy and elevated not only the worship of man, but the worship of himself. If we pull out some of these things that Antiochus Epiphanes did, they have been and always will be some of the ways and some of the goals of the wicked. Hating the holy covenant. Hating the way that the people of God seek to respond to him and worship him alone. Constantly elevating man. Constantly corrupting seeking to or corrupting the worship of Him. Many people, as we look at this, many people see in Antiochus, they see him as almost a foreshadowing of the Antichrist who is to come. And definitely so many things that are a part of Antiochus do reveal to us the spirit or the pattern of being Antichrist, simply against Christ. And if you're against Christ, then usually a person who's against Christ is very often against Christ's people. And the people of God suffer as a result. Some people see this as a foreshadowing, a picture, because there is of the Antichrist, because there is some ending. There is some ending of this chapter that is very uncertain. So much of the majority of the chapter paints very specifically that we can paint historically. Here's what happened. Here's what happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. Comes to the end, and there's some things that don't seem to have happened to Antiochus Epiphanes from historians, which makes people wonder if there's been then a shift into a later Antichrist, in a sense, who would be the final Antichrist. But again, I don't know about those things. They're very difficult to understand, but the picture that we see is clear, though, of his ways. Now, here's the next question. Why do you think God showed all these things to Daniel? Well, obviously, one of the reasons was to prepare them for what would come. One of the reasons also was surely to show them that he was in ultimate control, that God was in ultimate control despite all the struggles and persecutions which were to come in the future. Again, notice a few patterns. In verse 27 of this use of words, in verse 24 it says, "He shall devise plans against strongholds, but only for a time." Verse 27, "For the end is yet to be at the appointed time." Verse 29, "At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south." Verse 35, "For he still waits the appointed time." Verse 37, "For what is decreed shall be done." Appointed time, decreed only for a time. What's that constantly communicating? It's communicating that someone is setting the time, that the Lord has given him appointed time. There are boundaries. God has decreed ultimately what's going to come about. One of the other reasons was surely to show Daniel that God had not only simply was in control ultimately of what Antiochus would be allowed to do, but also that he had decreed that these things for the purification and sanctification of his people. That's really found in verse 35. It says, "And some of the wise shall stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made white." Which helps us to know that even in this situation, which Daniel could not have hardly fathomed happening to the people of God in the future, God really is doing what that we know from Romans 8:28. He really is working all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Which brings us to the last thing that Daniel was shown. Daniel was shown finally in chapter 12 what the end holds. What the end holds for those who are wise and who wait upon the Lord. And that's where I do want to read for us this last chapter. So hear the word of God. He says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Interestingly, he moves from Antiochus, he moves from all these things that have happened and that are going to happen to this picture, ultimately, a picture on the last day, a picture of the resurrection on the last day. A picture, isn't it, that picture, this beautiful picture that those whose bodies sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake and come to life. A picture that some will be resurrected to everlasting life and some others to everlasting shame and contempt. But those who are wise, those who wait, shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And so he gives us this picture, this time of then, this hopeful picture, despite whoever all is going to lose their life through all that's going to come to Israel. I don't know if y'all remember what I told you about Daniel in our very first study. That Daniel was placed in the wisdom section of Jewish Bibles. Because even though it's clearly a prophecy by one of the greatest prophets, it's about being wise. It's about being wise in the midst of the conflict between the city of God and the city of man. And he's calling upon them again to be wise until the end. He's told him, here's a picture of what's going to happen at the end. Here's the reassurance. And here's this Old Testament picture. We don't see much of this. Of this picture of the resurrection on the last day. But the question comes back as we come to the end of the book. How do we do that? How are we wise? Well, think about what we've seen through the book. We're wise by resolving in our hearts not to defile ourselves. Not to allow our hearts to be drawn away by the things of this world. By the delicacies, by the things that would pull us away that are in this world. By remembering that wisdom and believing that wisdom and might belong to God. And he gives wisdom and knowledge. By remembering that no other God is able to deliver like our God. By remembering and believing that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. By remembering that all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and in the inhabitants of men. By remembering that God numbers our days, and we will have to give an account. By remembering that our God can close the mouths of lions because He is the living God who endures forever. By remembering that the kingdom shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High in the end. By remembering that the Lord is great and awesome and keeps covenant with those who love and keep His commandments. And yes, as we're seeing by not fearing, what happens by not fearing man and what happens with the kingdoms of men, but finding our peace in the Lord and strength which He provides as Daniel was given in this last vision. You know, I think there's something also very interesting about this last chapter, and I know I'm hopping here today, and I feel like I'm doing this very good justice. But if you look at this last chapter, I think there's something else that's very significant, very telling. If you notice, it's very telling that he says in verse 4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I thought, what an interesting description of what's happening in the world. There's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of people running here, going there, back and forth, this way. There's going to be a lot of knowledge and increase. There's going to be all kinds of activity of men. It still doesn't change that the Most High rules in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't change that God has a plan and a purpose. Because then chapter 12 closes with the appearance of two additional men. One of the men asked the man in linen, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? To which he was told that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. Then Daniel asked, what shall be the outcome of these things? To which he was told, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days. The wicked are going to act wickedly. Don't be surprised. People are going to run to and fro. There's going to be all kinds of increase in knowledge. Don't be surprised. Don't be drawn into that as your hope. I think this last, what he's described here, may refer to the time period. It's almost like he's described the future, and then he goes back a little bit at the end. And may refer to the time period surrounding Antiochus's abomination of these days and waiting till these 3.5 years are over. But the key thing I would have you focus on is this, and if I've lost you, come back for just a second. The key thing I would have you focus on is he says, blessed is he who waits. Blessed is he who waits. We wait upon the Lord. And then he says, go your way till the end. And you shall rest and you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Go your way, meaning go do what you're called to do until the end. And in the end, Daniel, you're going to rest. And in the end, you're going to stand. You're going to stand at your allotted place in the end of days. And that's the promise to all who are in Christ, isn't it? Don't you love how the book of Revelation ends? With the great supper with the Lamb, the wedding supper of the Lamb. There's the picture of the heavenly Jerusalem, and guess what it's called? The New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven. It's described as this place where there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death, there's no more evil. It's described as this place in which righteousness dwells. And the people of God are with God in a new Jerusalem There is no need for the temple because what? We are with God Himself and we see Him face to face. Blessed is he who waits. Blessed is he who goes his way till the end, who is faithful to the end. Blessed is he who is wise. And do you see all the wisdom that we've covered? Remember, believe. The Most High rules in the kingdom of heaven and in the kingdoms of men. If that doesn't give you comfort, I don't know what will. Despite all the chaos, despite this kingdom comes and this kingdom falls, despite this persecution and suffering, despite these Christians losing their life for the sake of Christ and dying, but then God working over here, God has a master plan. God is on His throne. Christ has risen. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ is coming again in triumph. And this time He'll come on the white horse. And this time He'll bring final judgment. And this time He'll bring final reward. And this time He'll bring the new Jerusalem with Him. A lot of mystery and prophecy. A lot of things I don't understand. But we do know what, most importantly, don't we? Christ. Christ died. Christ was risen. Christ has ascended. Let us trust and hope in Him. Let's pray. Ah, Lord, thank You for the promises that are ours in Christ. Thank You for this wonderful statement, blessed is he who waits. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have overcome. Thank You that You are coming again. Thank You that You tell us within Your Word that we are more than overcomers, those who are in Christ Jesus. For nothing can separate us from the love of God which is ours through Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that this morning You would grant us hearts to believe that. To believe that and that You would help us to remember that. As we have various trials and tribulations, as we have various opposition, as Christians, as we watch, dear Lord, what goes on into the world with the kingdoms of men. We thank You, Lord, that Your kingdom is forever. And Your dominion will have no end. We thank You that You are the Ancient of Days and that as You've promised, Lord, You have given Your kingdom to Your Son. And one day, Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to Your glory. Until that time, O Lord, would You keep us Your people? O Lord, would You give us eyes of faith to believe and to see? And would You give us hearts, dear Lord, to pray and to pray fervently and to pray, Lord, as You've directed us and encouraged us in Ephesians, realizing, Lord, that our ultimate battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And Lord, we pray and ask that You would work through our prayers to accomplish Your purposes, that You would help us, Lord, as we grow in the knowledge of Your Word, to pray in accordance with Your will. And Lord, would You fill us with Your peace? Would You fill us, Lord, with Your joy? Would You fill us with Your hope? Would You fill us, Lord, with anticipation of that great day of resurrection? When, Lord, it will be stupendous. Because all those who are in Christ Jesus will be raised and will be given a glorified body. And You will bring all things to consummation. Lord, fill our hearts and minds on this Your day and in the days to come. We praise You. Thank You for Your Son. We thank You that we see Your Son and understand Your Son more fully because You gave us the prophet Daniel and Your word through him. Bless it to our hearing and to our studying, to our understanding in the days to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.